This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Tobinot, and good morning. As we are part of Shoot, of course, which raises money for students in the Hillsborough School District for scholarships, and we're very, very pleased to be out here on the 10th anniversary, or the 10th year of the Quail Shoot. And Tim and Ralph, good morning. It's good to have you along. It's good to be here. And we're going to be talking with a lot of different people here this morning and just having some fun. We will talk a little basketball, obviously, but first and foremost, I guess we want to thank Don Burton and the Burton family for allowing us to be out here. I know they enjoy us being here. We enjoy being here. And certainly the money that they've raised for scholarships over the years is terrific.
And speaking of raising money, you took part in a ceremony last night, Terry, where some money was raised for a couple of our local county schools. And once again, a great, great night and quite a bit of money raised.
You know, last year we're talking about the MTXE presentation for Nokomis and Lincolnwood schools, and they had the big golf play day in August. And last year they had a huge increase, and it literally just about knocked your socks off with $15,000 going to each school. Last night it was $16,700 to both schools. And I don't know how, you know, Ralph, we've said this all along, how generous this county is. It's one of the poorest counties as far as, median income, a lot of times, and unemployment. But the generosity of the people in this county when you have a worthy cause is unbelievable.
It's just amazing, and you've heard me say several times, being involved on the Montgomery County Cancer Board. And this past year, we raised over $150,000, and it's just amazing that we're a relatively small community with population.
Yeah.
But the people just turn out, they take part, and they do things.
And in an age where state funding for education and everything is becoming harder to get, events like MTXE that go directly to the schools, events like this quail hunt right here, scholarships for area students, they're vital to the survival of little communities.
And, you know, that's the thing about little communities. We usually figure out a way to survive. You know, that's what it all boils down to. And perhaps there's a lesson to be learned from people who don't live in the rural areas. Come look at the rural areas and see how business is conducted, and maybe you'll learn something. Now, I'll get off my soapbox after that. But you know, the generosity of the people of the county is just incredible.
And one of the greatest examples of that, and I've been involved in it all my life, and as well as Tim here, agriculture, how the people in agriculture work together to survive. And that's what it's all about, is survival. And if you don't work together, you don't survive. It's simple. Simple arithmetic.
Doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure it out, does it?
No.
Well, at least it shouldn't.
And it shouldn't anyway. And you know, agriculture being the number one business in the entire world, not only in the entire world, but especially here in mid-Illinois, you know, we have some really terrific people. And it's good for these little schools. And, you know, Hillsborough's bigger than Nokomis and Lincolnwood put together, but still it's a little school when you take a look at how things shape up across the nation when the city schools are, you know, 12, 1,300, maybe 2,000, 4,000 kids. It's a whole different ball of wax. So.
And to put it in perspective, two schools the size of Lincolnwood and Nokomis, what they will be able to accomplish with $16,000 more money in their athletic fund is amazing.
Yeah. It's the difference a lot of times between having new socks.
Yeah.
It boils down to new socks a lot of times, or maybe an additional jersey or an additional couple of balls to work with. And you know, once you divvy it up to all the teams, plus the Scholastic Bowl teams and the cheerleaders, and I think even now the junior high teams are taking advantage of it.
And it's the trickle down. Football's always going to have uniforms, pads, helmets.
Right.
Basketball, boys and girls, always going to be taken care of. The cheerleaders, the Scholastic Bowl, like you mentioned. It's those organizations, those teams, that would have to go without if it wasn't for events like MTXE. Yeah.
And for the mom and pops that have had kids out of school for a while, go back and price uniforms or socks or anything this day and age. It just blows your mind.
Well, and you can't have the generic version. You got to have the name, you got to have the Jordans.
And what you guys forget is that along with the manufacturers now comes a more stringent set of standards, what is allowed and not allowed on uniforms. So, which Southwestern ran into a couple, several years ago in the postseason tournament. They played a couple games, and all of a sudden, boom, they played against Hillsboro up at Riverton in the sectional, and they got teed up because their uniforms were illegal. You know, in the sectional tournament. So
happened in the state championship, in that same year, I think. I can't remember who it affected. But
It was North Lawndale?
It might have been North
Lawndale.
And
they lost by a point in the championship game. And that was the difference of the free throw and the technical to start the game. So, So, anyway, we're very pleased to be here. And the folks that participate in this quail shoot in the memory of Donnie Burton, it's wonderful. And we talked to Don this morning. I guess they've got 80 people today and again tomorrow shooting out here. Yeah. They've got all five fields filled up.
We had Donnie on the radio last Wednesday, and he made the comment that they're probably going to, in the near future, have to look at a cap of how many hunters they can have, because they're just getting up there to where you know it gets impossible to handle everybody.
That's a good problem to have.
Oh, that's a great problem to have.
That's kind of like having too much pitching.
Right. Yeah. No such thing. Right.
Yeah, no such thing.
Yeah. That'd be nice if the Saturday morning crew had a problem like having too much talent or something.
Yeah, we don't got that problem.
No, we don't have that.
We don't
got to
worry about that.
Sometimes it's a black hole.
Yeah.
You know, everything gets sucked in and nothing comes out. So.
Yeah. Well, there's no bottom in that hole.
We're broadcasting from Cranny Mac. And, of course, Don Cranfield started this endeavor years and years and years ago, was involved in sportsmanship and outdoor sports. And then, of course, Don unfortunately passed away a few years ago. Dennis McCammick has stepped in. Cranny Mac survives. This quail shoot survives. And these guys are busy just about year-round out here.
Oh, they're busy out here year-round. And the great thing about it is, guys, not only are they busy, but they're kind of like the Saturday morning sports crew. They have fun at what they're doing.
Absolutely. And before we go any further, Tim Mize and I have to say kudos to Jason Milano, our buddy. Jason, we had your breakfast casserole this morning, buddy, and it is to die for.
Yeah, he's done it again. Good.
Yeah.
And he will also be doing lunch and today and tomorrow, and well,
he's probably going to have his famous tortellinis out here.
The world's greatest food.
Oh, man. He'll probably show up with some of them, you know.
If we keep talking about him, he will.
Oh, yeah, probably so.
Of course, I always tell him, you know, to keep practicing, because he hasn't learned how to cook a pork chop as good as somebody else.
Well, that's a tall order.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have to cook like 10,000 of them even to catch up.
Yeah, would you do 10,000 in a year, for God's sakes, Ralph? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we had some great basketball games around the area last night. As it was rivalry night in Montgomery County on WSMI-FM, and Tim, you were at Hillsboro last night, and the Toppers picked up their first conference win of the season, and the battle between Toppers and the Purple Panthers of Litchfield, it was a great ball game, man.
Just a classic vintage Litchfield-Hillsboro game, and we had talked during the day at the radio station. Now you just can throw the records right out, and a lot of times, guys, that kind of becomes a cliche term, and it is, but for Litchfield and Hillsboro, it is just true.
Right.
I mean, Hillsboro comes in 1-13 on their home floor. I just had a feeling, Terry, Ralph, you had the feeling as well, that Hillsboro's got a good chance to win this ballgame. Good chance to win the ballgame. Litchfield did what they needed to do. They came out strong. They did not trail until there was 40 seconds left in the game. You know, I mean, they kept Hillsboro, you know, at arm's length, 8-10 points most of the game. But that fourth quarter came in, and, man, Hillsboro just turned it up a different level and got it done.
You see that happen a lot, Tim, when two rivals like Hillsboro and Litchfield get together. If one team can't put the other in the way, sometimes in the end it jumps up and bites them.
And the longer you let the team that's quote-unquote inferior hang around, they're going to burn you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're gonna burn you.
Absolutely. And last night, you know, the good thing that Hillsboro has going for it, I think, the Toppers, even though they weren't successful over the Christmas holiday, they played some good competition. And, you know, this Dylan Miller, he's a heck of a basketball player. And the Lemon Kid out front, he does a nice job for the Hilltoppers. Toppers have some some things to smile about here in their future.
Yeah, so. Litchfield had no answer for the 6-7 Miller last night. And I said at the end of the broadcast that in Litchfield's locker room, it probably felt like a loss and a half. And in Hillsborough's locker room, it probably felt like two wins.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And rumor has it, talking to Hillsborough people, Terry, carry that one step farther. There is light at the end of the tunnel because evidently they've got some kids in junior high that are pretty good ball players. So
that's terrific.
You know, it'd be great to see Joey and that program get back going. And well, we have
that's always a dangerous proposition. That's like saying we got a lot of talent in A-ball.
Yeah. Right. We have we have a gentleman here who.
You got some noise there, John? Is it too loud?
Can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
So it wasn't too loud then.
How about now? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a gentleman here, and he's going to tell us all about his brother. Only the good stuff.
Right.
This is John Burton.
Yeah.
And this is Don's brother, who has the inside story, like the true Hollywood inside story.
That's exactly right.
John, thanks for joining us.
And we promised Donnie outside, John and I did, that we wouldn't talk about him for over 10 minutes. So.
Oh, we're just limited to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It's a good thing you never keep your promises.
Well, we're just going to go over the highlights.
Well, it's a good thing we lie a lot.
Yeah. John, welcome to the show.
Listen to what you guys were saying before. I'm just kind of glad to see that now he's been retired for a couple of years. Things are starting to get straightened out a little bit.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, but you can't fix it overnight.
But how do you straighten out a circle?
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. No, he's been a good big brother. I really can't complain too much about that, but... you know, I can tell you all the stories you want to know.
Well,
let's first off get some thoughts about this particular event, which is now in its 10th year.
Yeah.
Quite a fitting tribute to Donnie. Yeah. And it means a lot to the family and to the students of Hillsborough with the scholarship money.
Absolutely.
Just kind of tell us how, after 10 years, is it still kind of special to you?
Oh, yeah. It's just something that's automatically on my calendar. I live in Indiana, so it's a 4.5-5-hour drive for me, but it's just an automatic every year. You take a couple days off, you come over here. Seems like just yesterday. I mean, it's been 10.5 years since we lost D, but, you know, what a vital young man. What a fun kid to be around. It just seems like yesterday. And our whole family really has been. My sister will be here in a little bit. I may try to get a plug in on her. She's single and, you know, retired for lifetime pension. I'm just trying to help her out a little bit. Her name's Debbie.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get a hold of her, they just need to stop out and look on the restroom wall. My brother and I have taken good care of her.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah, please.
Well, I got sidetracked.
We hope you've enjoyed our final day of broadcast.
We're off and running. The horses are out of the gate, and I think they're off the track. I think they're out in the middle of the
middle of the mud holes, what they are.
Anyway, no, it is. And you know, sadly, we lost our Donnie and I and Debbie lost our father this past January. And he was Dee's biggest fan and big supporter of this event and came out while he was able to the first 4 or 5 years. But this is just something that really pulls our family together.
On the 10th year, I mean, it's gotten so big. Don was telling us before, 80 hunts today and tomorrow. Take us back to that first year. Did you ever think that it would be as big with the number of hunters that it's gotten?
Well, the first year is the only year I missed.
Okay.
As I understand it, Don Cranfield came up with this idea about
two weeks before
it happened. And Donnie called me, of course, as soon as they had it set. And I said, I got to work. I can't just, you know. And so I didn't make the first year. But I think I've made every year since. But nobody ever anticipated this. It's just the community supports it. Friends and family support it. I come back every year, and it seems like a family reunion. It's just you're seeing the same people over and over and over. It's rare that I meet anybody new at this thing. So it's really been an awesome experience, I think, for everybody.
And we certainly want to mention Don Cranfield, the originator of this, because it was his hunting grounds here. And what a great sportsman and what a great entrepreneur Don was. And to get this thing started, and it just ballooned and growed. What it is today.
It was his idea. I mean, you know.
And the reason it's a quail shoot is because Donnie was such a fan of hunting. He loved, that was one of the
things. D was born in January, football. And that's what he wanted to do on his birthday every year. He and Don, my brother, came out here. And that's why they kind of picked the first weekend in January. kind of close to his birthday as you can get, and it's just been an awesome experience. But Dee loved to hunt. Loved to hunt.
Yeah. Well, it's a great sport. You know, it's just something that youngsters can get involved in, and it's just a great, yeah, great sport.
What is it about the hunting experience here at Cranny Mac?
Well, I'll give Dennis McCammon his due. You know, yeah. I told him this morning, I give Dennis a hard time when I come out here.
You should.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. And he expects it.
He deserves every minute of it.
You know, but I told him this morning, I said, you know, Don Cranfield would be proud of the legacy that's lived on and the work that Dennis does. I mean, he really does a great job. And, you know, the thing about Don was he was just a character. Don Cranfield was, he was 50% of the event. Shooting the quail was fun, but when he was your guide, that was just incredible.
The stories you would share.
Oh, yeah. Some of which would never make the air. You know, but Dennis is, you know, he's doing a great job. What can you say? And he's really carrying on the legacy, and it's just a good experience out here. They run a really good show.
And the venue itself is top-notch.
Yeah.
I admittedly don't know much about it, but I hear a lot of good things said about it from people who come out here.
They've added a field. They've got 5 fields now. You're going to have 180 hunters over 3 days, and there was only 27, I think, the first day.
Wow.
So you're looking at, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 175 hunters a day for 2 days. I had the 7:30. We used to have to get here by 9:30 on the Saturday. Today, the entire 7:30 was booked up. I don't think they have but 1 or 2 slots left in the next 2 days.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Tell you what, John, if you stick around for just a few minutes here, we need to take a break and get some radar weather taken care of. We're broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Shoot at Cranny Mac here in Hillsboro, rural Hillsboro. And Sports Saturday rolls on right after these messages.
Hello, this is Dan Fleming from Security National Bank. Have you wanted to know what we have done to our main bank in Witt? We are proud to announce the new addition for the new year. We will host an open house on January 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're excited to give our customers and soon-to-be customers a closer look at our new addition. Stop by, take a peek, get to know our employees, and enjoy some refreshments. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. We have 4 locations to serve you: Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:22, let's take a look at the weather forecast being brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Becoming cloudy for today, there's a chance for some flurries. Expect highs in the upper 30s. Cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. Flurries likely again. We'll have a low of around 25 degrees. And heading into tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Expect a high Sunday in the low 30s. At 9:22, we have a temperature reading of 31 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's Midwest Basement Tech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Extra pounds aren't healthy, so slim down for the spring by counting calories and fat grams right now. Eat balanced meals in moderation with plenty of farmer-owned Prairie Farms low-fat and non-fat dairy products like non-fat cottage cheese and non-fat sour cream, as well as skim 0.5% and 1% milk. Plan your snacks by including Prairie Farms low-fat yogurt. And for extra vitamin C while losing weight, remember 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
And at 9:24, let's head back out to the 10th Annual Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. Once again, here's Terry Tote, Tim Mize, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin, on as we broadcast live from Cranny Mac. We're talking with John Burton, who is Don Burton's brother and younger brother, right? I mean, like dramatically younger or just a couple
Most
years?
People just refer me as the younger, better-looking Burton
the younger,
brother.
Younger, better-looking Burton, okay.
He's just easier. Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. I think that can be assumed, you know, when you look at the two of you. And you know, out front a while ago, I remind him that I didn't say anything Wednesday about him being a Cub fan. And I'm not going to say anything this morning. I just want to tell Donnie that he can rest easy. The Cubs are going to field a team this year. How good, I don't know, but they are going to field one.
You know, they're going to be good someday, and you're going to have a lot of crow to eat.
Yeah, well, you take my age and subtract how many years I got left. I probably won't make it.
You think you're good?
I probably won't see that, but then.
No, normally, I just ask him when he starts talking about the Cubs who he roots for in professional baseball.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that usually solves the problem.
That takes care of it.
Imagine that. He kind of gets this faraway look in his eye then, don't he?
Over in Indiana, we have plaques on our walls that say, you know, will the person that dropped their 9 kids off at Cubs at Wrigley Field please come get them? They're beating the Cubs 5-4 and 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing quite like a brother zing.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We're broadcasting from Cranny Mac, which is the site of the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt, where money is raised to go for the scholarships for kids in Hillsboro, and it's been a huge success over the years. This is the 10th year of this quail shoot. And John, who are some of the other family members that are expected to be here today?
Of course, Donnie's wife and two daughters and granddaughter. The latest addition to our family is going to be here. My wife will be here in just a little bit, so we need to tie this up before she gets here because I have to act a little differently there.
Don's back behind you going, shaking his head. Yeah, that's right. That's right, man.
My sister and two of her friends from out in Springfield will be down here probably by about 10 o'clock or so.
You mentioned Don's wife and his two daughters is here. Three of them, you know, it's probably somebody will have something good to say.
I'm sure. I give Donnie a hard time, but we're real proud of him. He's done a lot for this community. He's done a lot for every community he's ever worked in. And this is all about the kids. It really is. And the kids that benefit, and we're just happy as a family to support it.
Now, when you were kids, was there a little, you know, normal animosity or jealousy between you and Don?
Well,
just a little bit, maybe?
There was a little. Of course, you know, times were different back in the 50s. Today, every kid's got their own car, their own bedroom, their own cell phone and everything else. But Donnie and I actually shared a bedroom up until he left for college. I mean, you know, you didn't put a room addition on back then. You just did best you could with what you had.
Yeah.
In fact, I one story I don't think I've ever shared with you guys. It's really my favorite. But we were sitting, I was laying there in bed one night and I couldn't get to sleep. And Donnie was over there sound asleep. And my dad, for years, every night, swung on the front porch, which was right outside our bedroom. Of course, back then, your windows were open. We didn't lock our doors at night.
No.
If it was hot out, we left the door open, left the screen. We didn't worry about things bad. It's totally different. So I was sitting there and I thought, well, you know, it might be funny to try and pull one over on my dad. So I reached down, just slapped my leg as hard as I could, and I said, Donnie, quit it. I'm trying to get to sleep. And that porch swing stopped. You could hear a pin drop. Pretty soon that swing started going again. I did it again. That porch swing stopped. Just dead. And the third time I did it, I heard that porch swing. Him come off that porch swing. He come through that door, reached across me with one arm and pulled Donnie out of the bed. He was probably 8 or 10 years old. Pulled him out of the bed. His belt was already off. He was going, what? Pulled him out in the living room. Now, today, this would probably be child abuse, but back then, we lovingly called it the Burton Rain Dance. Yeah. Mm. He'd hold one arm up in the air, get you up on your tiptoes, and start swinging that belt, and you just run around him in circles. He'd just rotate. Well, finally, I think my dad figured out something was wrong because Donnie was going, what'd I do? And I'm sitting there doing everything I can not to laugh. Well, you know, the story would be a lot better if I could stop there. But I wasn't very bright, obviously. Yeah.
The word got out, huh?
If it worked once, it might work again. So my dad, of course, he had caught on. He shoved that screen door open and it slammed shut. And he stood right outside that bedroom door and listened. I waited about 5 minutes. I slapped my leg, and next thing I knew, I was out in the bedroom. But I always like to tell Donnie, the truth of the matter is, I deserved it. He didn't.
He did.
So I won that round any way you look at it.
Oh.
Donnie was 4 years older than me, so, you know, really, we weren't involved in the same thing. We all played the same sports and stuff growing up.
But you had your own little group.
We had our own little groups, but as adults, we've really, really gotten to know each other a lot better and enjoy hunting together and doing stuff together and family time. You know, it's like anything else. The older you get, in my mind, the more close your family becomes and the more family means, you know.
So with you being 4 years younger, you guys went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. So you walk in freshman year, your older brother's already been through. Was there a point where you thought, oh, my God, my brother has really screwed me over?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, Donnie and I were quite different growing up. For instance, 1 year, I remember one Christmas, Donnie was very upset because he didn't get the screwdriver set he wanted. And I heard Mom and Dad talking in the kitchen, and Dad looked at Mom and he said, Marilyn, I looked all over the city. I can't find a set of screwdrivers with directions on the handle.
Yeah.
There's no sense buying the kids something he can't use that's of no use to him. And it was a big deal. But no, Donnie was a top-notch athlete and a top-notch student. But I think he'd agree with you that mechanical things eluded him. That was more my end. I like working with my hands and doing stuff, and still do to this day. But I can't say that he left a bad legacy at high school either. He was a good athlete, got along well with people, stayed out of trouble.
And it just hurts you to have to say that, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. Did you have your fingers crossed? If anybody got in a lot of trouble, it's probably me. Of course, you have to understand, my brother was the firstborn. I mean, he did no wrong. He did no wrong.
That's the firstborn, I can't attest.
And if he did do wrong, Grandma took him for the weekend and nothing happened. And I came along later and it's like, this kid deserves a spanking.
But you know, to put that in perspective, you say he was the firstborn. Now your dad could have took one look at Donnie and said there ain't going to be no more, so you wouldn't be here.
Well, that's true. And I'm not so sure there wasn't. They waited 3 years to have another one.
Yeah.
I think they was waiting to see how the first one turned out. You know. Now, my sister, on the other hand, she was born, and I was born a year later, so they knew right away they needed another one there. I don't know, you take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
They didn't have to wait around very long.
So, John, are you here for the whole weekend?
Yeah, I'll be here until most of the way through tomorrow. It's a long drive, and I got to work Monday, but we'll probably stay until 2:30 or 3. Afternoon. And
what part of Indiana are you?
I'm from Muncie, Indiana.
Oh, Muncie. Okay. They play basketball over there once in a while, don't they?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because Muncie Central's got the state record for state basketball titles. That's where my kids went to school, with 8. But what most people don't know is over the last 80 years, they've been runner-up 22 times.
Wow.
It's really a phenomenal point. Now, to be fair, they've had 2 runner-ups in the last 8 or 10 years. They've had kind of a dry spell. But it's well known for basketball.
You know you're a successful program when 2 runner-ups in a decade is a slow period.
Yeah, they got beat
a dry
spell. They got beat 2 years in a row by Greg Odom, the 7-footer that ended up, I think, at Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that.
Went to Ohio State. And then went
Ohio State for a year and then
Portland.
Portland, that's right. It's Portland.
But obviously, I think Illinois and Indiana historically have kind of had a rivalry when it comes to high school basketball. You know, Illinois thinks they have it the best. Indiana thinks they have it the best. And in Indiana, it's almost religious like football is in Texas.
That's exactly right. Indiana's a basketball state. Football's secondary and almost, you know. But that's just part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And love him or hate him, you give credit for that basketball craziness or love or whatever to Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight has a big part of it.
And the movie Hoosiers.
Yeah, Hoosiers a big, yeah. You know, Notre Dame, you know, you've Purdue, you've just got basketball programs all over the place. Notre Dame right now, well, actually, IU, one of the best teams in the nation.
Yeah, yeah.
Notre Dame's not far behind them, and they'll be playing for the national football title here pretty quick.
Yeah, Monday night, I think it is.
In Indiana, we like to look at it as God was creating the earth and moving eastward, he took a short nap. When he woke up, he created Indiana. That's just my own perspective.
I like that. Back to the high schools, how many classes do they have in Indiana? Like basketball is four classes in Illinois, eight classes for football.
Football is five, basketball is four.
Four, okay.
I believe. Now, again, my kids have been out for a while. Right. I don't think it's changed. Football is five and basketball is four. And actually, Muncie Central, due to population changes, had just got dropped back to 3A. So,
like in Illinois, many of the Peoria schools used to be some of the biggest schools around. Now they're down, and a couple of them, in fact, are down to Class 1A. It's pretty amazing. So,
and of course, we're talking about, you know, Notre Dame and Indiana. Can't forget about little old Butler. They've kind of become America's college basketball team over the last few years.
They've really done a phenomenal job. My son's got several friends that go to Butler. Butler's not very far from me. Hinkle Fieldhouse is renowned.
Well, that's where they filmed Hoosiers.
Yeah, if you've not been there, then you've not really experienced Indiana basketball. It's a basketball state, plain and simple.
I have several Army buddies from the Indianapolis area, and I got a couple guys that live at Newcastle, and I guess that's one of the largest high school field houses in the United States.
It's a phenomenal field house. When you walk in, if you've never been there, it's almost hard to describe. But when you walk into it, you're on the very upper level of a field house that holds something like 8,000 fans. And everything goes down. When you walk in, you're actually at the top, and it goes down to the floor. It's just a phenomenal thing.
And this is for high school?
This is for
high school.
It's just phenomenal. It's one of the top five high school basketball arenas in the nation, as I understand it.
They've had some pretty good success over the years with high school teams, Newcastle and.
Yeah.
And here in the Midwest with the winters we have, obviously you're going to do things indoors, and basketball is just the best thing to do indoors.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's
part of why the Big Ten Conference and basketball is alive and well here in the Midwestern states,
because that's
what we do in the winter.
And the Big Ten, you mentioned a while ago, Indiana being one of the better clubs, it's going to be a dog-eat-dog conference.
You better believe it. It's going to be a tough one. It is.
Well, take it to a Hoosier fan.
I'm a Hoosier fan. I actually from Muncie, so I work at Ball State University, which is in Muncie, Indiana. But, yeah, it's hard not to follow the Hoosiers. You know, truthfully, any Indiana team that's playing, I'm going to root for them.
Right.
Sure. It's just fun to watch. And, you know some Matt Painter, the Purdue coach, came from Delta High School, which is, you know, probably 5 miles from my house. There's people all over there.
Of course.
Indiana that have a basketball history.
Of course, we mentioned Bobby Knight, and who could forget Gene Cady at Purdue.
Gene Cady, awesome.
And the hair.
Yeah.
The flip over.
You want to call it that.
Yeah.
It used to be hair at one point in time.
That's right. Yeah.
had him with his hair, and we always laughed, Lou Henson, the Ludo.
The Ludo, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look back on Illinois and Indiana, some of those great rivalries between the Henson in the Henson and Knight era.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those were just you know, knockdown, drag-out fights when those two guys were coaching.
So. Any way you cut it, though, three national championships for Bobby Knight is pretty hard to.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of people that's ever lived that can top that. Whether you like him or don't like him, he was certainly a good basketball coach and certainly an enforcer.
As long as he stays out of Puerto Rico, he'll be okay.
Well, that's right. Well, and he coached in a different time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where you could be a coach harder, I guess, for lack of a better term, than you can today.
And when you see these guys and Jim Boeheim just passed Bobby Knight, getting up there close to 1,000 wins, that's phenomenal. That's
a lot. And then you think just down the road in Lebanon, you know, McKendry College with Harry Statham, he's well over 1,000 wins.
Yeah.
He's the all-time winningest coach. Yeah. So it's pretty amazing that the legacy that basketball has, especially here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool thing.
Getting back to Butler, when they in there, still good, but I'm from the little town of Butler over here, and so we had a sign out when we went to the Final Four. You know, Butler makes the Final Four.
You finally arrived.
That's right. That's right. We're talking with John Burton here at the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Shoot, and of course, the money raised here goes for scholarships for kids from Hillsboro, and it's just incredible the amount of money that's been raised over the years. This is the 10th year they've had the quail shoot, and John, we thank you for stopping by. It's been
appreciate
good to talk to you, and I know you always have a good time when you come to the Hillsboro area, and it's always good to see you, sir, and
yep.
We certainly enjoy being part of it out here.
Well, we enjoy it. Keep in mind, it's for the kids. And
you're
if,
right,
if you
sure,
can't
right.
come out here and participate, if you're not much on shooting, contact the high school. I'm sure they can hook you up with a way to donate to the scholarship
sure.
fund. It's really all about the kids, and so that's what we try to keep doing it for.
One final story about your brother. When he came here to interview for a job at the high school, he walked in for the interview, and he had a piece of slate and a piece of chalk in his hand. Somebody said, what are you doing with that? Mr. Burton said, we use pencil and paper over here. So.
Well, some people say I look a little bit like him, so if you see somebody and you're not sure, have them take their hat off.
Yeah.
If there's hair under there, it's his brother. He's a younger,
nice.
Better-looking brother.
Yeah.
If there's not, it's probably him.
Okay.
You know?
I will.
Now, John, we're going to have to offer him a rebuttal time here.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you? But
well, just keep in mind that the Burton Creed is never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
There you go.
I like
right.
it.
We like
that's
that.
That's how it works.
I believe in that firmly.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, my friend.
Good to see you again.
Oh, man. You know, and that's all part of the camaraderie that goes on here at the shoot, and you know, as we mentioned, 80 people today, 80 people again tomorrow, and it's a pretty amazing thing when you talk about all the people from around the area, the Midwest that come in and participate in this thing. It's just plumb crazy
oh, yeah.
when you think about it,
and
Ralph. It really
just
is.
Gets every year it gets better. And
bigger and better, and I don't know, I think Don's probably tied up in trying to get some things organized.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and talk a little bit more basketball here. Tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll take our final break of this hour, and then we'll come back. We'll talk some more basketball on the high school level. Sports Saturday rolls on right after these messages.
Hello, this is Dan Fleming from Security National Bank. Have you wanted to know what we have done to our main bank in Witt? We are proud to announce the new addition for the new year. We will host an open house on January 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're excited to give our customers and soon-to-be customers a closer look at our new addition. Stop by, take a peek, get to know our employees, and enjoy some refreshments. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. We have four locations to serve you, Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast at 9:41. The weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Becoming cloudy for today, there's a chance for some flurries. Expect highs in the upper 30s. Cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. There's still a chance for some flurries. We'll have a low of around 25 degrees. And then for Sunday, partly cloudy skies. Expect highs Sunday in the low 30s. At 9:42, we have a temperature reading of 32 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:42, let's head back out to the 10th annual Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
And welcome back as we broadcast live from Cranny Mac. This is always something we look forward to, Mr. Don Burton. And good morning, sir.
Good morning to you all.
It's good to have you here in a rebuttal role.
Damage control.
Well, damage control is one way of putting it, I guess. I don't know. But
I've already been informed. I was out very busily getting hunters out into the field and getting things ready to go. And I've already been informed from people in here that my brother's been on the radio now for about 20, 25 minutes. And, yeah. And I'm going to have my hands full here.
He had a long run.
It's called damage control, you know, and it's going
to
take a while.
We tried to wipe the blood off the chair before you sat down.
Yeah, my phone's ringing. Yeah. Oh, great.
That didn't take long.
That's how ironic.
The power of radio, Don.
Yeah,
the power
of the radio, works. Buddy. Well, Earl Meyer just pulled up in the parking lot and got out. And the first thing he said to me after I haven't seen Earl probably in 6 or 8 months is, I hear you're not having all that great of a day today.
Did you present Earl with a map, or did he find his way out here without one?
No, actually, he got out here okay. I noticed that, he didn't even bring his wife this time. Usually she navigates through Hillsboro.
Get him out here.
Yeah. But he made it himself, so retirement's been good to him, too.
But Earl always says, he said, I can't understand when I'm driving, we go through town, my wife always says, keep your head down.
I tell you what, I miss the atmosphere. I miss everybody. He just walked in. He's here, so ready to go. But it's so good to be back and see. I worked with Earl for a long time here.
Great guy.
He is a great guy, a great community-oriented person, good family.
Earl, go ahead.
And Don, you, of course, were associated with Hillsboro High School for so many years, and nothing quite like a Hillsboro-Litchfield rivalry matchup on the basketball court like we had last night. Wouldn't you know, the Toppers got it done.
Well, actually, I did hear about I read about that already today. To be honest with you, I kind of lost track. I think John may have mentioned Sally and I are experiencing something this past year and a half that we've never had before, and that is a grandchild. We have a granddaughter who's coming over a little bit later today.
The whole perspective changes.
You know what? My life has really changed here in the last year and a half. I'm not used to being referred to as Papa. That's something a little new to me, and Grandpa. But
obviously because you're not that old.
Oh yeah,
no,
not at all.
Kid.
And I'll tell you, it's amazing. And John probably already told you this, but it's amazing the resemblance between my granddaughter and myself. Now I'm not going to go into detail, and Uncle Ralph's going to be really behave himself and be nice, but she looks remarkably.
Starting
like
when
me,
is
Terry.
That going to happen?
she looks remarkably like me. It's amazing. But anyway, it really has thrown a whole new light on this hunt. On a serious note for just a second, our numbers have just went through the roof this year. It's been absolutely, it's just almost something I can't explain. Our best hunt ever was 152 hunters. That was last year. We're approaching not far from 200 this year. Today and tomorrow, we're booked solid. I can get an individual in here and there. I will have to give WSMI a boost. I didn't get to my car last Wednesday, and I had a phone call with four new hunters. They had heard us on it was actually the day after. I heard it on the radio on the play that night, and we get a great PR from you guys. So, and we've gotten other calls too. So,
Don, as this is now obviously the 10th year, as you look back to the first year, from then to now, the growth has just been amazing of this event.
Yeah, well, we only had 2 weeks to prepare for the first year. We ended up, I think, with 22, 23, 24 hunters, somewhere around in there. We grilled steaks out here, and the grill's still sitting out here. Don never threw anything away, so it's still sitting there, the red top. And that we figured out that you can't cook steaks when you're trying to run hunts. They take too long. So we went to the chili and the hot dogs, and we went from 22, 23 hunters to about 195, somewhere around in there, close to 200 hunters. It's amazing. The generosity, you got to keep in mind, I haven't been superintendent here for 3.5 years. We left town due to some illnesses and people in the family that we needed to go home and help. And so we're in Taterville now. We're not even here. People continue to come out year after year. I see new people. I've had many of these hunters have been with me now for 9 or 10 years, all years that we've had the hunt. Donations are at an all-time high. It's just incredible.
Don, do you ever get a chance to talk with the young people that are able to take advantage of the scholarships?
There are several. One was here yesterday. I know one or two are coming tomorrow. They actually hunt. I also have a couple of the gals, young gals, that come out and just help out in the kitchen a little bit. It's really fun. From previous radio broadcasts that in interviews that all we ask after they get the money is that they touch base with us once or twice and let us know how they're doing. And they do that. Not every single one of them, but the large majority of them. We get an email, a card, or something around Christmas or something every year just to fill us in on what's going on. It's funny, but to the people that got the first, 10 years ago, got the first scholarships, I'm still Mr. Burton.
You will always be
Mr.
Burton.
I know. But it just amazes me that, you know, I say, no, don't worry about that. Just call me Don. You know, you're, they got kids now, you know. But they just can't get off that calling me Mr. Burton. I think that's funny, you know. And now that I'm back in Taterville, and I don't know if my brother hit on this or not, and I probably shouldn't even say this on the radio, but in Taterville, I'm Donnie. I still am Donnie to everybody around. So it took me a little time. I'd walk into some place, and they'd say, hey, Donnie. And I, you know, I'd look around like, are you talking to me? You know, and it, so, it, you know, it works out.
Yeah. Son, you mentioned a moment ago how a lot of familiar faces from year one to now, and in the sense it's kind of like a business where it's all about that repeat customer, so to speak. So when you see guys or hunting groups that come back year after year, what does that mean to you?
It means a ton. Sally's not here to talk right now. She should be here with the rest of the family any minute. But I got to, in fact, that's probably who was calling, unless it was somebody referring to my brother's comments, which is a good
entirely
possibility. I'll tell you what, it's a real emotional thing for Sally and I. As time goes by, we get away not so much for the tears now and stuff, but for the remembrances and the memories. Some of these young guys that are helping all weekend out here were Donnie's friends. When he passed away, a couple of them came and mowed my grass, six and a half acres, once a week for almost 2 months, just to come do it. So, you know, people talk about young kids today and how unruly they are. Well, I got to tell you, I can show you a whole bunch of kids that aren't that way and that got the hearts of gold. And it's a tremendous thing for them to come up, and they still talk about Donnie. They still tell us stories, some of which I might add aren't necessarily what I wanted to hear.
But, the other side.
But I got to tell you, they're not bad. I don't mean that by any means, but they're just honoring. And things
but,
that.
But Don, you were a teenager.
Very
once
much
too.
All of us at
we
this
all
table
were.
Probably did. Ralph, I can almost unequivocally say, was
he probably invented
a terror
some of it.
Back then. But that's neither here nor there. But it does. It means a ton. And we just love these kids, these folks, these gals that come out here and work all weekend. The three of them up there are from 7 to 7, 3 days in a row, for not one penny or no money. They just volunteer because of the weekend. So, and you talk about one other thing, too, and you mentioned the over the 10 years, it is a lot of repeat. A lot of these people have came 6, 7, 8 years, 4, 5 years. But I always get a new crop, especially this year, right, 30 to 40 new hunters. That hand me their cards on the way out the door and say, make sure I get on the flyer list. You know, so, because that's really, besides you guys, that's really all I do to promote the hunt. All I do is send a flyer out to about 100 people and then come talk with you.
And this is such a unique event. I mean, it just doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah. No, no.
In the 10 years, I had one person criticize the hunt, to be honest, because of the guns and the you're shooting birds and I understand it, and I tried to explain the best I could that you know everything we do is up to par with the law and everything else. You know, I don't think I probably persuaded her, but that's okay. I mean, you know, I did the best I could, and not everybody's going to agree with. In order to do what we do out here, we'd have to have 10 chili and spaghetti suppers, and a host of other events to raise the money we do in one weekend. So. You know, this is the way to go for us.
Besides a grandchild, what are you doing now, Don?
Well, I do a little bit of part-time consulting work in the educational arena. Not a whole lot, to be honest with you. I did an interim for 2 years up at Pawnee. To work for the ROE in Sangamon County for a couple of months, basically. But I got to tell you, the whole grandkid thing is a whole different dimension. Not only do I have a 16-month-year-old granddaughter, but my oldest daughter now is expecting in April, and it's a boy. So look out.
Wow.
I haven't bought him a gun yet. Don't worry. But that's probably coming in his near future.
And a football after that,
and
right?
And a football and the whole – we got all of Uncle Donnie's stuff that's waiting for this first grandson. So, you know, and people say that I've overreacted a little bit. You know, that my wife and Amanda, my daughter, gets on me for the way I treat my granddaughter. Well, you know what? I think every 16-month-old needs a battery-operated motorcycle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, I've seen it. She pointed at it.
Yeah.
I have no problem
with
it.
There you go.
No. So I bought it, took it home, put it together, and she runs it all over our apartment down there. You know, so, you know, I think that she's got her own cell phone.
And just think what a conscientious driver she will be when she turns 16.
Exactly. I'm teaching her.
And there you go.
I understand.
I would imagine that being a grandfather is much like being an uncle. It's your duty to provide all the toys and things that the mother and father will not buy. It's your duty.
And I will tell you something really cool, too, to follow up on that statement. We had Christmas last Thursday night because everybody came home for the hunt. And this is the first hunt ever that I've had my entire family here, girls, granddaughters, everybody. So we had an absolute blast, but it was interesting two ways. We had an unbelievably nice talk, family talk the other night with my brother and everybody around about Donnie. And that's something that hadn't happened in a long time. Telling all the old stories, the pranks we pulled on him, he pulled on us, et cetera, et cetera. But the other cool thing about this Christmas was that Santa came, granted a little late, to a 16-month-old little girl in that house. And I had forgotten what it was like to wake up on Christmas morning and have those pitter-patter little feet running down the hallway. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what time it is, but it's time to get up. Santa is here. And the other thing is, and I have to tell this story on my wife, and she's not here, so I'm going to be okay for now at least, unless she's got the radio on driving over here, which she probably does. But anyway, I get ready to go to bed the other night. Everybody came into town on Wednesday evening late. We stayed up late. We didn't put Laura to bed till late. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I go in and crawl into bed. And Sally comes in, turns the light on, and says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, you know, at 2 a.m. in the morning, I'm doing what most normal people already did 2-3 hours ago." And she said, "No, no, 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 no. You've got the kitchen outfit to put together for Laura. For Santa." And I thought, "You're serious." You know, and so I had to get up for an hour and put a whole bunch of toys together, fill stockings and stuff. I'd kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, this has been the best Christmas I've had in a long time.
So now, I love Don, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love that little girl. And it's obvious when I'm around her, and I do spoil her, and I'm sorry, but it probably ain't going to get no better.
You don't got to apologize for that.
No. I was just going to say, now your next plan has to be, say your next grandchild's going to be a boy, you're going to have to go out and shop for a pair of drums. You know, he'll have to have a set of drums to send home with him,
well,
you know.
And I'm glad you brought that grandson whole thing up, because you and I have always been sparring a little bit over the years, and Terry, you guys are all in it. You're in a cahoots here, I'm telling you, this whole Cardinal thing, okay? And I realize I'm talking on WSMI, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but my grandson doesn't even know it yet, but he's got his first baseball shirt already. It's already purchased. It's a onesie.
And it's blue,
I didn't realize,
right?
It's blue, all right. Yeah. But ain't got no red on it, I can tell you that. And my daughter, I hope she's not listening, because that big C is going to look awfully nice. Now, I'm in Ranger territory there. You got to understand. They live just south of Arlington in Abilene.
Oh, yeah.
Big Josh, my son-in-law, is a fanatic. He's worse about the Rangers than you guys are the Cardinals.
Wow.
That's
pretty bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So we've already – Laura got broke in, the granddaughter got broke in for her first birthday. Sarah, my daughter who's expecting the grandson, her and her husband are – and especially her husband's a rabid Cardinal fan. I mean, rabid. He's right up there with you three. And we got Laura, her first baseball shirt was a Cardinal shirt. My son-in-law wasn't here when that happened, so we put the shirt on. It was holiday, and we took pictures from both sides and promptly emailed and then shut the phone off.
Nice.
Texted those pictures. Everybody's phone's going off like crazy. Get that shirt off that kid.
That is funny.
But yeah, we had a good time with it. He's got a great sense of humor, and I wish he could be here. He's the only one actually not here, so. But he's working, so that's okay. We'll see him shortly.
Don, we know you're very busy today, so we appreciate a few minutes that you've given us here. And before we let you go, your records have become digitized, and you got a lot on your plate over the course of this weekend, and those records being on the computer, very good for you.
Okay, thank you so much. And I know you're joking.
I'm not joking.
Are you?
I'm serious.
Okay, good.
I'm serious.
Good. Wonderful.
Saves your time, no?
Okay, you better believe it. Thank you all so much. Yeah, seriously, yes. This is, you guys are great. Thank you.
Don, it was you were a lot of fun to have on the program, and I hope you'll come back and see us again, and we plan to be back here again next year for the 11th year of the quail shoot, and we always have a great time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. As we broadcast from the Donnie Burton Quail Shoot, the Memorial Shoot, which benefits Hillsborough students for scholarship money and the 10th anniversary of this shoot. And coming up here a little bit after 10 o'clock, we're going to continue. We're going to go into overtime for the sports show this morning. We just have so much stuff to cover. We're going to come back and continue to talk some basketball. Of course, the Fighting Illini will play host to Ohio State. That's a 12:30 broadcast this afternoon on FM 106. Plus, the pairings are out for the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, if it gets played. We'll talk about that and more coming up in the next half hour or so on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlindale, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice in Mid-Illinois. Coming up next, we have NBC News, and we'll come back in just a few minutes.
And at 10:04, let's head back out to the 10th annual Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. Once again, here's Terry Tote, Tim Mize, and Uncle Ralph.
Well, in baseball, it's called extra innings. In basketball and football, it's called overtime. It's called extended time in soccer, whatever you want to call it. We're doing a little extra sports show here this morning on WSMI FM 106.
I thought it was extra time.
Extra time.
In soccer.
Extended time.
Extended time.
You could do
either way.
And in the rule book,
tomato, tomato.
So, tomato, tomato. Hey, we're going beyond 10 o'clock, okay? That's what we're
doing. Simple.
It's that simple.
Hockey, is that the game they used to play?
Well, they still play it in some places.
Not in America.
They just don't play it in the professional level, at the highest level anymore. Not for a while, anyway. And, by the way, talks have seemingly broken where they're going to have to cancel the season, which is
inexcusable.
Crazy. It's inexcusable. You're right, Tim.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
there's no excuse for a professional sport to have to cancel a season over squabbles over contract.
It just happened. They just did this.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been like if baseball would have had another season lost in like 1999.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's insane to think that they're even reaching this point.
But that seems to be the times we live in, guys. Look at Washington. Wait till the 25th hour to come up with some kind of decision to keep the physical cliff from happening. And, you know, why do these things have to be? I don't understand it.
It's called being human. Humans generally procrastinate.
It's the same reason why when you're in school,
you've
got 4 weeks to write the paper. You know you got 4 weeks to write the paper.
Yeah. So
and here you are 3.5 weeks later, you haven't started.
That's right.
So you read it the night before.
Exactly. It's just the way it goes.
That's how it goes.
Hey, guys, the deadline for the NHL is Thursday, by the way, to cancel the season.
Okay.
Thursday. Well,
Thursday.
Pretty close.
Dang close.
Yeah.
They made that announcement yesterday, and the mediator's working with them. So they, I don't know.
That means nothing because the mediator's been working with them for a month. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's the sad part about that particular aspect of professional sports. But you know, and who'd have thunk that baseball is the most stable?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Stable sport of all.
How did that happen?
After all the labor troubles they've had.
You know? we pro and con the higher ups in baseball, and lo and behold, they must be doing something the others aren't doing.
Yeah.
We talk about the labor troubles that hockey is having, and of course, kind of the elephant in the room around Litchfield is, will they have a strike or will they not have a strike? And that decision is getting close, and it's going to come up on Monday. And athletically speaking, which is what we focus obviously here with Sports Saturday, Terry, the Litchfield Invitational Tournament set to begin a week from today, and obviously, if there's no Litchfield School, there's no Litchfield Invitational, and that would really be a shame.
Well, you know, and that's just one aspect of the entire makeup of the school day, and certainly if school's not in session, there won't be a Litchfield tournament, at least at Litchfield. I mean, there's a possibility there might be an alternate venue and maybe a junior varsity team that could be added to fill the spot. Let's just hope that things work out, you know. I'm confident there's good people on both sides, and we certainly hope for the best, because the Litchfield Invitational Tournament is probably one of the most outstanding in-season tournaments, featuring small schools to, you know, anywhere from 1A to 3A schools. So you got a great, really nice mix of schools.
And that's the tricky spot that they find themselves in, is 11 teams, other than Litchfield, the 12th tournament, throw Litchfield out, but 11 teams now have blocked out a week's worth of games for this tournament. So from Litchfield's perspective, if they can't hold it this year, it could adversely affect them moving forward. Who knows, where teams might be like, you know what,
maybe we're going to go somewhere else. So hopefully something can get resolved and they can get this tournament played one way or another, because it really is the best in-season voice tournament. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, it's
around
good,
the area. It's terrific, the best in-season tournament.
It has become a terrific tournament with some really high-end teams, especially out of the Metro East area. And you know, the level of competition is extremely high at that tournament. And the thing of it is, if there is a strike, there are some alternatives.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe an alternate site like Hillsborough or Nokomis within the county. Certainly Hillsborough, just a few miles down the road, could be an alternate site. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not even saying that they've actually talked about it. But I'm just saying, just thinking out loud, that's a distinct possibility.
And there have been preliminary discussions. They've got contingency plans in place for however it may work itself out.
It's my understanding, and not having much knowledge of what's going on, but actually the two sides apparently aren't that far apart. So hopefully before the 25th hour strikes, they will get something done.
Well, you mentioned Congress. It's kind of like that. Right before they go over, they'll reach a deal.
Yeah.
And I understand
the two sides aren't that far apart. So.
And we certainly hope so.
And
the neat thing about Litchfield, and we talk about the makeup of the tournament, well, Roxana's the top seed. And of course, they got the big kid. Pena, number two, my gosh, always a perennial powerhouse in the area. Columbia's third. Civic Memorial seeded fourth this year.
And just those top four seeds,
right,
you look at them on a map.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is nice and spread out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. A good mix of teams that you generally don't see during the regular season.
And that's the appeal. Yeah. You're playing teams that you're not going to play in the regular part of your season.
Right, yeah. For the most part, for the most part.
Not the same old, same old.
Mount Zion gets the fifth seed, Litchfield sixth, Nokomis seventh, Lebanon eighth, Greenville ninth, East Alton Wood River 10th, Metro East Lutheran 11th, and Hillsborough gets the number 12 seed. So, and of course, the Litchfield Invitational, an interesting tournament because they have four pools of three teams. So it's pool play for the first half of the tournament, and then however you end up, they go to brackets. And I think this is just a unique tournament just because they are able to use pool play and then go to bracket play.
To me, it's a brilliant format because you can get a bigger feel than if you just have a straight bracketed tournament. But yet, at the end, like you say, Terry, if you don't have a bracket, it's not a tournament.
Well, you know, there's something about bracketed tournaments. You can see the progression, you know, from the quarterfinals, semifinals into the championship game, and that's why I always thought that the Litchfield tournament was such an interesting tournament, because they combine probably the best of both worlds when you come down to it. So and again, what an outstanding, roster of teams here. If everybody in the top four ends up in the semifinals, you've got Roxana playing Civic Memorial and Pena against Columbia in the semis. Wow!
Yeah.
Man.
One of the interesting things that I noticed that stood out to me in terms of the seeding was that Litchfield got the 6th seed and Nokomis got the 7th seed. Nokomis beat Litchfield at Litchfield. So I found that to be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, coaches, and I don't know how the seeding progresses. I assume it's probably on the internet like most everything else, but
doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really make any difference. You know, you're going to have to, if you want to get into the championship bracket, you're going to have to win two games in your pool play, and that's just what it boils down to. So,
No, that's exactly right, but you never know for sure how seedings work out. We saw with the Macoupin County seed, Gillespie gets seeded ahead of Bunker Hill and Girls because they had beat them more recently.
Sure.
They split 1-1, but the Miners' win was more decisive and more recent.
And the Macoupin County tournament starts a week from today, and the Staunton High School will be the site of that tournament. And there will be 6 games next Saturday, 2 games on Monday, 3 on Tuesday, 2 Wednesday, 3 Thursday, 2 on Friday. And then the final day we'll have 6. We'll be featuring nighttime broadcasts from the Macoupin County tournament beginning next Saturday. And the top seeds in that tournament in the girls, Southwestern 1, Gillespie 2, North Mac 3, Bunker Hill 4, Carlinville 5, Staunton 6, Monolith 7. And on the boys' side, North Mac 1, Staunton 2, Carlinville 3, Southwestern 4, then Gillespie, Bunker Hill, and Mount Olive. And by the way, last night at the North Mac basketball game, which was at Riverton, there was some sort of an injury apparently in the JV game, and the rest of the evening's activities were postponed. I do not have any information. I had a call this morning. Somebody was asking me. I do not have that information. And perhaps if there's an injury involved, it's a HIPAA situation where we wouldn't be privy to. But whatever happened, we certainly hope that things, progress on a positive note.
That's scary.
That is scary. If the game is shut down like that and the coaches go with the whoever is involved.
Yeah, hopefully the young man is okay, but that is a scary situation.
Scary situation.
No doubt about it. Terry, you mentioned the seedings. That girls' tournament from Macoupin County, I mean, you could literally take the top four or five teams, throw them in a hat, and just kind of bring them out, however they may, because, I shouldn't say that. Southwestern, to me, is clearly the top seed. They're the best team in the county, but you take Gillespie, North Mac, and Bunker Hill. To me, those three teams, very, very similar. Bunker Hill has beat North Mac. Gillespie has beat Bunker Hill. So those three teams, to me, are very, very even.
And Carlinville is just, you know, a half
They're
inch
right
away
there.
from being in that same spot, and they get better every game. The more they play, the better they get, and they're just an extremely young team yet.
Any given night, Carlinville can jump up and beat any one of those clubs.
So, and Southwestern, just being Southwestern by reputation, you know, they're going to be the number one seed until you knock them off, and North Mac did it last year.
They did.
So, and it's everything is pool play at the Macoupin County Tournament this year. So both the boys and girls side all pool play now.
And, of course, Southwestern fields a very young team, so, you never know there. But the old word, the mighty Mo, momentum, somebody goes into that tournament with a little momentum, as even as they are, you know.
Well, that's right. And we've talked about it with Southwestern so many times under the direction of Steve Woolley. They're just ready.
Yes.
Every day.
They come
every
to play.
Every game. They come to play. They're not going to beat themselves. You have to beat them. And that's why they win so many games, because it's hard to beat them.
And, you know, teams that generally have that reputation are teams that generally play good defense.
They get in your head. They're up 5 points before the ball's even thrown up.
As soon as you step off the bus, you're 10 points down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way the game is played, and it's true. It's frustrating if you're a coach of the opposition coming into a place like that, I would think.
And there certainly are teams that do that. They get in your head before the game starts, and it's hard for a coach not to let that happen. It's almost impossible.
One of the most interesting nights of the tournament, I think, would be the Thursday night, January 17th, the last two games that night, when top-seeded Southwestern takes on fourth-seeded Bunker Hill, number two Gillespie against number three North Mac. If the seedings hold up, if everything goes according to Hoyle, up to that point, you've got basically true semifinals coming up that night in the girls' side of the tournament, and that ought to be a heck of a battle that night at Staunton High School.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Staunton hosting this year, as you mentioned, Terry, and that's going to be a well-run tournament there at Staunton, and that's always one of our more favorite places to go. Just from a radio perspective, that's the best gymnasium in the area.
Well, it's because it's probably the worst acoustic gymnasium, and, you know, 50 people sounds like 500 or 1,000 people, and I love it when the band is playing at Staunton, because you can feel your internal organs vibrate.
Yes.
I absolutely love that. It's a great venue, and fortunately, coming up later in the month, even I think the last Saturday of the month, they're going to have the state tournament team back from 93, the 20th anniversary. We're going to be broadcasting. It's Lincolnwood and Staunton that night, so I'll be broadcasting that game. But before that game that night, I get to have the honors of emceeing and bringing out the state tournament team from 1993, which is I'm very excited about that.
And even though that was so long ago, every time I go into that Staunton gym, I stop and I look at that state championship trophy. I look at the picture. I was there. I remember that's the first state tournament I ever went to, and I just remember the vibe that was up there. Who is Staunton? What are they doing here? Yeah. They've got no chance. Next thing you know, they're holding the first place trophy, and it's just cool to walk in there. Yes. It just kind of takes you back to a different time.
It really does.
Prime example of what I just said a while ago, Tim. Staunton that year went into that state tournament with momentum, all kinds of momentum, and they just kept rolling.
But people may forget, they didn't win the county.
No,
the Bulldogs won the county championship, but they were from Burton.
Well, let's go back to 1992, okay? Burton went to the Super Sectional and lost in the Super Sectional in 92 and had everybody back in 93. So, you know, that year, Burton was extremely good, Staunton was extremely good, and it just happened that, you know, there was a good chance that we were going to have two teams at the state tournament, if not one. And I was betting that we'd have at least one, if not two. And like you mentioned, Verdon did beat Staunton in the county championship, which was a heck of a game. But the Bulldogs won the big one. And, you know, I claim
I know what
to this day
say.
They were the last true Cinderella team ever to win the state tournament. It'll never happen again with a four-class system, simply because those teams are eliminated. Staunton, I think, will forever be the last true Cinderella team. statewide.
Yes.
To us, we knew they were good.
Right.
But statewide, they will be the Cinderella team.
I agree with you, Senator, but I would take one exception. You said those teams would be eliminated. They wouldn't be eliminated. They would be playing. They would have been a 1A
right.
school. Well, they still would be 2A, but
sure.
the Cinderella team, they're playing in 1A.
Right.
They're playing schools their size. So you can't be a Cinderella team if you're beating a school like, the same size as you are.
Yeah, like Hales Franciscan.
Right. Like, Staunton, you take that team. If they're playing in a four-class system and they win the 2A mm-hmm. state title, sure, it's awesome.
Right.
You won state. But it's not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
The same.
Well, you know, you go back prior to the 70s, and you had your teams like Hebron and those little schools with 90 kids that jumped up and bit everybody. And
well, you guys remember when it was just one class.
Oh,
I do not. I remember when it was two classes. And I know we've talked about it before. People really raised a fit whenever it went to two classes. Oh, it can't work. It worked out fine. The same people voiced concerns when it went to a four-class system. And I think kind of the prevailing thought was, well, these same naysayers didn't like it when we went from one to two. Give it time. We've given it time. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I think you miss a little bit of magic when it's a four-class system, personally. Not that there's anything any less impressive about a team winning one of the four classes, but you don't have that Cinderella aspect
doesn't
of
feel
things.
The same.
And it... you know, I think Peoria does a great job of hosting. I love the Peoria venue because of the March Madness experience right next door. I don't think it'll ever leave there. I don't think it should leave there. But just the four-class system, we've given it its run. You know, it would be okay for me to go back to a two-class system.
The quality of basketball at the state level should be must-see.
Right.
A must-see event.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen the 1A tournament. It's a must-see event. I've seen the AA tournament. It was a must-see event. We were up there a few years ago when it was four-class system. I'm sorry, but the 1A tournament was not a must-see event.
It was not. It just,
and it's unfortunate.
Another thing you miss out on and is when you had that quarterfinal round with eight different teams on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, and even though you had to play two games on Saturday, which I never did like, but still, you're young, you're kids, you're playing for state championship, whatever. You know, you still had eight teams on that Friday, which was really kind of neat because it was the only chance you ever had to see eight teams at the state tournament.
And those games were so intense because four teams knew they were going home.
Yeah.
They weren't getting the trophy.
Right.
They were one and done. You wanted to get to Saturday. Mm-hmm. So those quarterfinal games were some of the most intense battles that you could see.
Sure. And now winning a super sectional, you got hardware. So it's a little bit different situation now.
Yeah.
So.
And guys, getting back to talking about tournaments, Terry, in a week or so there'll be a tournament at a town called Highland, a girls tournament. It's kind of a prestigious tournament.
And that tournament has really gone more towards larger schools and Edwardsville perennially is one of the top seeds, or if not is the top seed year in and year out. And a lot of the smaller schools have tended to drop out, but we still have some representatives from the area, Nokomis, Hillsboro there. I don't know if Greenville's still there or not. I haven't really checked the schedule lately. But that's as we've referred to it over the years, it's kind of a miniature girls' state basketball tournament. And that's very, very true. And the interesting thing about it is, if a team wins the Highland tournament, and I need to check the history, I'm not sure that a team that's ever won the Highland girls' tournament has ever won a state tournament.
I don't.
Because the year that Hillsboro won it in 2006, Lady Toppers did not win the tournament that year. They actually won it the following year when they were seniors and did not get out of the super section.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how... sometimes you peak at that tournament, and that's probably about 3 weeks too soon.
Yeah.
Well, that's always the trick of the high school basketball season. You get about this time of the year, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You want to be hitting your stride, rolling into regionals.
This is, you know, we're past the turkey tournaments, we're past the Christmas. This is, to me, the most exciting time of the year for high school basketball, January.
Yeah.
When you've got, you know, your midseason tournaments, you've got a heavy conference schedule. Everybody's gearing up. We kind of know what everybody has, and everybody's kind of got one eye on the postseason tournament.
Girls regionals are going to be here before we know
it. In a month.
As we stated,
5 weeks, actually, from Monday.
As we stated earlier, this is the time of the year when the basketball teams begin to come to the top, and this is also the time of the year for most of our schools around here when the football legs are getting off and the basketball legs are getting on and guys are getting ready to play at the top of their game.
Right. By the way, in case you didn't catch some of the scores from last night, terrific matchup. Hillsborough beat Litchfield last night 49-46. The other game involving Montgomery County Schools, Nokomis got by Lincolnwood 57-51 as the Skins are back over the 500 mark. Now both of those teams, Lincolnwood and Nokomis, are 8-7 on the year. Monala beat Bunker Hill 45-40. Roxana got by Greenville 65-53. Auburn beat New Berlin 77-57. And Waverly beat Calvary in overtime 56-52. And those are just some of the scores that came up from around the area. And, of course, coming up later today, we've got Fighting Illini basketball, Illinois versus Ohio State at 12:30 on FM 106. Monday night, have a terrific girls matchup for you. The North Mac Panthers are playing host to the Lady Hilltoppers of Hillsborough. We'll be on the air about 7:30 with that game. Interesting, it's a non-conference game. You're talking about a Sangamo Conference team, North Mac, against South Central, but two quality teams, two coaches who have been in a state tournament.
Right.
Rhett Teakin, when he played for Nokomis, and Ada Range, when she played for Carthage. It's going to be interesting to see how those two teams match up on Monday night in a non-conference battle.
And this will be the first matchup between the two programs, correct, since North Mac has been in existence?
I don't think they met last year in the regional, because North Mac hosted the regional. I think this is the first time ever as North Mac that Hillsborough and North Mac will meet. So
yeah, that's going to be a good game.
Oh, I think it's going to be a terrific ball game. And really give you, you know, you talk about tests. This is one of them. This is one of those tests. Because you're not going to go into North Mac and have an easy time.
No.
No way, man. And you got Molly Sloman to contend with. She seems to find an open spot on the floor somewhere and can put some points on the board. And on the Hilltopper side, you got Shelby Gray, who went over the 1,000-point mark this week. So I'm anxiously looking forward to that ball game on Monday night. So
yeah, that'll be a lot of fun there at Verdon.
And then coming up Tuesday and Friday, we've got action from Gillespie High School. Boys games, Hillsborough on Tuesday, Litchfield on Friday. So we've got a lot of ball games coming up next week just prior to the start of the Macoupin County Tournament.
Of course, we saw Gillespie at the Cromville Holiday Tournament last week, and they showed themselves very well. They were competitive in all four games they played.
Yeah, you know, Gillespie's one of those kind of teams I don't think you want to face down the stretch, especially you get in the postseason, because there's a team that you might take a little bit lightly, and they'll just beat you.
They could jump up and
They could jump up and beat you, you know. They're a kind of team that the more they play, the better they're going to get.
That's the thing we've seen with boys basketball this year. It was accentuated last night with the Hillsborough win over Litchfield. All these teams, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. There's no one team that maybe you can put North Mac in a class by themselves for the area, but all the other teams, they're basically the same.
Yeah.
You know, one team may be a little stronger in one area than another, but when push comes to shove, when you throw the ball up over a 32-minute game, anybody can beat anybody.
Absolutely. And that's why they play them. That's why they play them.
That's why they play the game.
You can't assume somebody's going to win. And as we mentioned, 5 weeks away from the start of the girls' postseason, which means we're about 8 or 9 weeks away from the boys' start of the postseason. And it's hard to believe we're already – where did 2012 go, guys?
Goes fast.
When you look back, it just absolutely flew by. It's amazing. It's amazing. So – and a lot of good basketball on WSMI FM. Go to our website. Tim does a great job of getting those podcasts up there on a daily basis. We have all our games podcast. You can listen to them at your leisure, or you can download them for no cost and can keep them forever. So
our ball games from last night should be up there. So
yeah, there you go. All right. Well, guys, about the Illini. Wouldn't surprise me if the Illini beat Ohio State today at home. It'll either be a close Illini win or a blowout Ohio State win.
No, that's probably right. And the Illini are just, I say they're a hard team to figure out, but they're not really.
No.
If they rebound, they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
We talked about that from the start of the year, even when they were off that hot start. Are they going to be able to rebound the basketball when they get into Big Ten play? And after one game, the answer is no. That was not pretty.
And you pointed out at the beginning of the season, Tim, they need that big, brawny 6'11 guy to take up space in the middle.
Well,
and he's on the way in terms of recruiting, but he's not there.
He's not here
this
yet.
Year, and the rebounding thing, it's going to – and I don't know how
you can't fix
that in the middle of a year. No. Your roster is your roster.
You can't fix rebound, and Coach always said you can't – I can't make guys jump. You know, they have to do that on their own. But the Illini, it's so important for them to shoot well because they don't rebound well.
And I still maintain the fact that they can't rebound well just means they've got to get out and they got to pressure the ball. You know, you've got to make these teams start their offense out near midcourt, shoot the passing lanes, be over-aggressive, overplay. If you give up a few backdoors, give up a few backdoors. But I think you've got to be aggressive, try to get some free buckets in transition.
Well, and that's the key, getting points off the transition and after forcing a turnover. And Illinois starts out the game pretty aggressively a lot of times, and then it's almost like they run out of gas.
Well, you know, that game against Purdue, it's funny, Terry, you always talk about when people get agitated about a call in the fourth quarter, or how many free throws did you miss in the first quarter. There was a point in the game at Purdue, it was in the first half, maybe it was about halfway through, I don't remember, Illinois I think was up by six.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Abrams got a steal off an inbound, goes the length of the floor, misses a wide open layup. Purdue comes back, scores 4 points or 6 points in a row, and after that, Purdue kind of settled down, and it wound up being a 6 point swing. The Illini could have been up eight, who knows what happens, but just little things like that, especially in conference games, can prove to be costly.
And, you know, and people don't want to remember first innings. They don't want to remember first early parts of the ball game, first half, first quarter, whatever. But gosh, those moments are important. You got to be in the game from the get go, and it's any job. I don't care what you do for a living. You know, you have to be in the job.
The work you do at 10 a.m. is just as important as the work you do
at
3 p.m.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's so easy to blame the referees that maybe they didn't make a call or should have made a call and this, that, and the other. Hey, come on, guys. You know, some coach somewhere probably said, you know, unless we shoot 100% from the floor and don't have any turnovers, we probably don't deserve to win every game. So.
And getting back to the Illinois-Purdue game, just as we sat here and spoke of a few minutes ago, Illinois matches up well against Ohio State. I mean, they play them well. I don't say they match up well. They play them well. Reverse that with Purdue. They do not, as a rule, play well against Purdue.
That's true. Or Minnesota.
Or Minnesota.
I think they've lost eight in a row against Purdue now.
And they got Minnesota coming up after this Ohio State game, and that's at Minnesota.
Tubby Smith's teams just give the Illini fits.
Well, Purdue under Matt Painter and Minnesota under Tubby Smith, they epitomize the quote-unquote Big Ten style more than anybody else, really. I mean, they are gritty, hard-nosed, punch in the mouth, those types of clubs.
They are teams that you wouldn't have an MVP off of at a tournament.
Yeah.
None of them.
They might win the tournament.
They might win the tournament, but they're all just about the same. Gritty, blue-collar, dive on the floor. Nothing flashy, but get the job done.
And another team in the Big Ten you have to throw into that same mix is Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. With Bo the Badger, they're always tough.
Bo the Badger.
They just beat you, and he won't have a superstar on the team.
Yeah. Well, don't forget Fighting Illini basketball coming up this afternoon, 12:30, Illinois and Ohio State. And then Monday night we have Hillsboro at North Mac in girls basketball, followed by the Coach John Gross Show at about 9 o'clock. Tuesday night, Hillsboro Gillespie boys basketball, all coming up. WSMI.com is our website.
Radio.
Or WSMIradio.com, our website. You can check out all of our broadcast schedules and all sorts of other stuff going on.
I don't know what WSMI.com is.
I don't either. Now that I mentioned it, I don't.
It's something, but it ain't us.
It could be us.
It could be us, but it's not.
But it's not.
And
I guess for the right amount of money, it could be us.
Well, that's
right?
Exactly right. This is America.
That's right.
And for those few hockey fans like Tobin that's left, will there or won't there be a season? We'll know by Thursday.
I don't think
there will. I think you're going to.
My gut tells me that there's going to be a season. I just can't imagine that Reed could force him to cancel another season. I can't.
Any other sport, I would say, but you know, the higher ups, the upper management of the NHL, boy, I just really question the sanity sometimes of those people. And I've bashed Bud Selig before, and Major League Baseball. But, you know, I'm not sure Gary Bettman has been the best thing to happen to the NHL.
Right. And I haven't followed this lockout extremely close like I would have one of the other sports, because quite frankly, I just don't care about hockey as much. But from what I can tell, NHL owners try to operate like Major League Baseball owners or NFL owners. They spend all this money. They offer these players these big contracts. Of course the player is going to take the contract.
Sure.
You offered it to them. They're not stupid. They're going to take the money when you're trying to give it to them. So the player signs the contract, And then the owner starts screaming like they got to go to the four out. Well, I got no money. Well, who told you to offer the guy a 15-year contract for $120 million? You did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Baseball can do that because they've got a lucrative TV contract.
Right.
Football can do that. They've got a lucrative TV. Hockey doesn't have that.
No.
You can survive as a league offering that kind of
exactly.
money.
Exactly. So then when the owners try to squeeze the players, I just look at the owner and say, what's wrong with you? As a paying fan, why would I want to give my money to you if that's how you're going to act?
True.
Not going to do it.
Even if you got 20/20 vision, you can't watch hockey on TV. No, you can't follow the puck.
Well,
and that's,
you know,
the problem. It's the best sport live.
It really is a great sport. It's a great sport to go to hockey when it's live and you can hear the whooshing up and down the ice and the blades and the sticks and the boards and all that stuff. But it is still a tough sell on TV. Now, hockey fans will tell you no, but for the fan that's kind of in the middle of the pack, it is a tough sell on TV.
Well, so, guys, real quick, I'm going to make two predictions here. I'm going to predict that the Litchfield people will get their heads together and settle their difficulties at the high school, and I'm going to what else am I going to predict?
NHL?
Hockey brain dead, and I'm going to predict that hockey will not play.
Okay.
I think they will get a deal.
Yeah, well, I know Tobin's hoping for a deal.
I think they will get a deal.
You know, Tobin's got money that's burning a hole in his pocket for the tickets. So he's ready to go. Hey, we're out of time. We're done for Sports Saturday. We want to thank the Burton family for allowing us to come out here and broadcast from the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Shoot. And again, all the money here goes to scholarships for kids at Hillsboro. It's the 10th anniversary. We look forward to coming back again next year. And if you have any questions, just call the Hillsboro School District. You can call the radio station. I can, you know, put you in contact with the right people. But we really appreciate their hospitality and thank them and wish them the best of luck in the future. So,
and good luck to the rest of the hunt here this weekend.
Absolutely.
At Cranny Mac.
Yeah, maybe a few snow flurries, but really nothing that's going to be
the
most of a problem.
The birds will still fly. They'll have
just
the radar.
Right.
And I was talking to a young man out there. I said, how'd you do? He said, well, I shot 20 times, but I didn't hit nothing. So
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, do you have that trouble, Tim?
Absolutely.
The bird never flew where I shot.
No, I've never hit anything.
I'm the same way duck hunting. Duck never flew where I shot.
I can't even hit that broadside of the barn everyone always talks about.
Well, don't look at me when it comes to hitting, because in baseball, I was 0 for life. So, you know. Hey, that's going to do it for our sports show here on this Saturday morning. For Uncle Ralph, for Tim Mize, I'm Terry Toad. Thanks for tuning in. Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106.1. So long from Cranny Mac.